Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person. Text number 30. Dehad Dibir Daiva Tantrar Atmanak Sukham Ihataha Dukat Yayam Chanishasya Kriyamoga Krita Krita Deha Adibi. With the body, mind, ego, and intelligence. Daiva Tantrai. Under the control of superior power. Atmanaha. Of the self. Sukham. Happiness. Ihataha. Searching after. Dukha atyayam. Diminution of miserable conditions. Cha also. Anishasya. Of the living entity fully under the control of material nature. Kriya. Plans and activities. Mokha krita krita. Become baffled again and again. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The living entity tries to achieve happiness and rid himself of the causes of distress. But because the various bodies of the living entities are under the control of material nature, all his plans in different bodies, one after another, are ultimately baffled. Purport. Because the materialist is in gross ignorance of how the laws of material nature act upon him, as a result of his fruit of activity, he mistakenly plans to enjoy bodily comfort in the human form of life. Through so-called economic development, through pious activities, for elevation to the higher planetary systems, and in many other ways, but, factually, he becomes a victim of the reactions of his fruitive activities. Supreme Personality of God is situated as the Supersoul within the cores of the hearts of all living entities. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Savasyachaham ridhi sanivishto Matak smritir jnanam apavanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The desires and activities of living beings are observed by the Supersoul, who is the upadrasta, the overseer, and who orders material nature to fulfill the various desires of the living being, as clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita 18:61. Ishvara sarva bhutanam rideshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudani maya. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and as one desires, the Lord gives one the various types of bodies, which are like machines. Riding on such a machine, the living entity wanders throughout the universe, under the control of material nature and its modes. Thus, the living being is not at all free to act, but is fully under the control of material nature, which is fully under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as the living entity is victimized by material nature to lord it over material nature, he is subjected to the control of material nature, which is supervised by the Supreme Soul. The result is that one again and again makes plans and is baffled. But as foolish as he is, he cannot see the cause of his bafflement. This cause is distinctly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, because one has to, One has not surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He must work under the control of material nature and its stringent laws. Daivi Yesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatiya. The only means of becoming free from this entanglement is to surrender to the Supreme Lord. The new form of life, the living entity, must accept this instruction from the Supreme Person, Krishna. Sarva Dharma Prachaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Do not plan to achieve happiness and drive away distress. You'll never be successful. Simply surrender unto me. Unfortunately, however, the living entity does not accept the Supreme Lord's clearly stated instructions from Bhagavad Gita, and thus he becomes a perpetual captive of the laws of material nature. Jagnatat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandana. If one does not act for the satisfaction of Krishna, who is known as Vishnu or Yajna, he must be entangled in the reactions of fruitive activities. These reactions are called papa and punya, sinful and pious. By pious activities, one is elevated to the higher planetary systems, and by impious activities, one is degraded to lower species of life, in which he is punished by the laws of nature. In the lower species of life, there is an evolutionary process, and when the term of the living entity's imprisonment or punishment in the lower species is finished, he is again offered a human form and given a chance to decide for himself which way he should plan. If he again misses the opportunity, he is again put into the cycle of birth and death, going sometimes higher and sometimes lower, turning on the samsara chakra, the wheel of material existence. As the wheel sometimes goes up and sometimes comes down, the stringent laws of material nature make the living entity of material existence sometimes happy and sometimes distressed. How he suffers in the cycle of happiness and distress is described in the next verse. You'll have to come back to hear it tomorrow. Deha divir daivatantrayar atmana sukha ihataha dukhat dukhatyayam chanishasya kriya magga krita krita. The living entity tries to achieve happiness and rid himself of the cause of distress. But because the various bodies of living entities are under the full control of material nature, all his plans in different bodies, one after another, are ultimately baffled. Tasyaiva heto prayate te kovido yad brahmate yad brahmate uparida. Talabhyate dukavat anyatak sukham gabhira ramahasa. Anyway, gabhira. What's the last line on that? Ananta? Kalena gabhira sarvatra gabhira ramahasa. What's the ones before that? Kalena sarvatra gabhira ramahasa. So tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido. So in a learned person, he understands that this material world is an attempt to become happy. And there are different gradations of so-called happiness and distress. And the living entity is trying to find the perfect place. And in order to do so, sometimes he commits sinful activities and sometimes he commits pious activities. Some of that has to do with association. In other words, according to our past activities, we take birth in a certain family. And automatically we get a certain type of association by taking birth in that family. If our parents are actually, you know how to be parents, then we're blessed by good association. But in Kali Yuga, generally speaking, due to being Vana Sankara, unwanted children, somehow or another they came by accident. Therefore, they're not properly taken care of. because their parents are animals or like animals, and therefore they're trained to become like animals. And the result is they become animals. And people can't understand why the present generations are always more and more degraded, more and more animalistic life. Like in Peru, they have what's called what's the name of that fish? Piranhas? Piranhas. Piranhas is the Spanish name for a group of fish, little fish with huge teeth. And there's many of them in the water. And if you go into the water, within a few minutes, you're just a skeleton. You're the feast for piranhas. Therefore, people don't bathe in the water in certain parts of the Amazon. And those who have, you can go and see their skeletons. If you want to get a free skeleton somewhere, you want to study anatomy, you need a free skeleton, just go where the piranhas are. Piranhas. And in downtown Lima, there was a class of children. They were known as the piranhas. Because at night, if you're walking along, 20, 30, 40 children would jump on you and take everything except for your skin. That way, I know maybe they're taking skin now also. They can sell it. So this is called Varna Sankhar, unwanted children, simply creating problems. Just like the monkeys, they're foolish, but they're also active. That's the worst thing, is foolishly active. It is not so bad to be foolish and inactive because you can't do much harm. But when you're foolish and active, that's the worst because then you do a lot of harm. The best is intelligent and inactive. But intelligent and inactive means that one is in Krishna consciousness. And in Krishna consciousness, one can actually find happiness by thinking about Krishna from within. But unless one has the association of devotees who can explain the science of Krishna consciousness, then there's no possibility of finding any happiness within. Hiranyakashipu was looking for Lord Varaha after Lord Varaha had killed his brother, Hiranyaksha. And Varaha knew, actually, I'm not supposed to kill Hiranyakashipu. He's destined to be killed by my expansion, Lord Nrisimhadev, as part of the pastime with Prahlad Maharaj. Therefore, Varaha purposely tried to avoid Hiranyakashipu. But he realized the universe is quite small because both Varaha, Dave, and Hiranyaksha were half the size of the universe. Doesn't mean leave much room for you. We have two people half the size of the universe. The universe gets pretty crowded. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu was also as big as his brother. And therefore, Lord Varaha did not know where to hide from Hiranyakashipu. And therefore he became so small that he entered into Hiranyakashipu's through his nose and he went into his heart. Because he knew Hiranyakashipu never would look for him in his heart. He never looked for anything in his heart. That way Varaha Dev was quite safe in Hiranyakashipu's heart. Similarly, materialists will never try to find happiness when within. They think that their belief, chintam apriyam cha pralayantam upashitya kama paboga paramam etavam iti neschita asha pasha shutera bhada kama krota parayanaha ihanti kama bogartan anyenartha sanchaya. They believe, because everyone has their faith, everyone has their conviction. So what is the asura's conviction? They believe to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization. Just like the king who was talking to his minister, and the king asked the minister, up unto what point of life does a man have sex desire? So the minister said, up to the point of death. So the king didn't believe it. So the minister said, I'll prove it to you. So I'll call you at the proper time. So at a certain time, the minister ran in and said, please come with me and bring your beautiful daughter. And they entered into a room of a dying old man. And the man, when the minister and the king entered, paid no attention. But when the beautiful young princess walked into the room, the old dying man stood up, winked at the princess, and then died. The king said, yes, up until the end of death. So up until the end of death, one is anxious to gratify the senses. Everyone is happy during a feast day, but even the devotees sometimes are not as enthusiastic at a fast day. We have a tendency to prefer to gratify the senses rather than deny them. But the materialists, they think that that's the only purpose of life, is to gratify the senses up until the end of life. And therefore, there can be no measurement for their anxiety, because their measurement just increases and increases. I may think I'm gaining something, but actually what I'm gaining is an anxiety. If I get a car, I may think now I'm the owner of the car, but actually I'm the servant of the car. Because now I have to pay for the car, I have to pay for the gas, I have to pay for the oil, I have to pay for the maintenance of the car, I have to pay for the insurance of the car, I have to put the car in a safe place. I'm simply become a servant of the car. And even if I go to work, then I'm working to pay off the car. At least part of my work goes to pay off the car. So it takes me to the work, the car takes me to work so I can work for the car. And what to speak of, I get two cars, then I get twice as much problems, twice as much anxiety. So what I'm gaining is not anything, I'm gaining anxiety. If I have $1 billion, how much anxiety I have trying to make sure it's safe, no one steals it, or where to invest it so it doesn't disappear. I can't use it. I can only eat 5 chapatis a day, but I'm happy that I have so many billions of dollars because I think now I'm secure. Now even Yamaraj can't get through my guards. So much protection. Now I have an anti-Yamaduta X-ray. Any Yamaduta attempts to come through the ray gets zapped. So I'm safe. Or as Prabhupada said, one man, he's smearing stool all over his body. And another man is asking, why are you doing that? He said, that way the Yamadutas won't come because they'll never touch me. He doesn't realize they're not going to touch your body. They're going to take the soul out of the body and take him for a little walk. So people don't know Nitevidu Swartha Gatimbi Vishnu. They don't know how the material nature works. They don't know how they're entrapped by the material nature. They don't understand what modes of material nature they're under. Ukramantam Sitimvapi Bunjana Vaganandvita Vimuro Nanapashanti Pachanti Jnana Chakshusha. The foolish, they can't understand how Lilavanti quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So the common materialist is proud. They have so many degrees, so many technological degrees and technology. They're a biochemical, physical engineer. They've gone to school for 50 years to get their postgraduate degree. But they don't even know who they are. They know how a bacteria acts. One bacteria, he spent 50 years finding out how one bacteria relates to another bacteria. He's become famous as the supreme authority on the two bacterias, but he knows nothing about himself. And therefore, at the time of death, he'll become a bacteria, because that's what he's studying. Someone who's an Olympic swimmer, All day long they're in the pool, swimming back and forth, trying to get some name and fame and some Olympic medal. And at the end of life, they become a fish. So what is the value of all their effort? Or as I'm hearing today, probably always mentioned in his tapes, or sometimes mentions, that when he went to an astrologer, one astrologer told him that the former prime minister of India, after he left his body, he became one of two dogs in Sweden. So he worked so hard for India, he didn't even take birth in India, took birth in Sweden as a dog, at least according to the astrologer. So what was the value of all that effort? If you're working day and night to get something, and at the end, your prize is a fish body, what kind of prize is that? Maybe you should have invested your energy in somewhere else. You're putting your money every week after you get your paycheck, you're putting your money into an account. But if you got the number wrong, it's one, instead of a zero, you get a one. And all your whole life, you're putting money into the account. And then at the end of life, to retire, you go to the bank, your bank account, and want to make a withdrawal so you can retire. But you find out there's nothing in the bank account, because you kept on putting your money in the wrong account. So in the uniform of life, if we don't know where to put our energy, then we'll wind up with zero at the end of life, at least zero pious credit. We'll have to simply accept the reactions of our sinful activities. Although everyone is looking for happiness, going up and down the material world like on a Ferris wheel, sometimes by good association, going upward, and then when one goes upward and gets into a comfortable position, then one becomes proud, and by that pride, one becomes offensive, and by that offensive, one develops an attachment for sinful activities and winds up going down into the lower species of life. And after suffering in the lower species of life, and by the process of evolution, coming up to the human form of life again, then one may find oneself in a comfortable position, again become proud, again commit offenses, again go downward, or one may find oneself in a suffering condition and become humble, and therefore go to church and pray to God, please save me, and therefore gradually go upward until one gets to sufficiently elevated, and then at that point one becomes proud, commits offenses, and starts going down again. But one is never thinking that I had a past life, I was suffering, I worked so hard, now I become I have a comfortable position, maybe there's something better that I should strive for. No, as soon as one is well off, then immediately one will spend his money for sense gratification. And even if one saves because one is, and saves because one is a miser, his children will spend it for sense gratification. There's one story of one very greedy person, rich man. He simply saved and saved and saved. He was expecting that he was going to bequeath all his money to his sons. And so, because of his sinful activities, although he was fabulously rich, he had to take birth as a cobbler, as a shoemaker, nearby his previous house. So one day he decided he'd try to sell some shoes to his former children. He didn't know he was with his former children. So he went to his former house to sell these shoes, and his former children took his shoes and took the shoes he was trying to sell and beat him with them. That was their gratitude. Therefore, if one wants to get real happiness, if one wants to make real progress, as it says here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, one should endeavor for that purposeful end, which is not achieved by wandering up and down throughout the whole universe. As far as happiness goes, that will automatically be obtained, just like automatically we obtain distress even without seeking it. Therefore, one should become an intelligent person and seek happiness where it actually is. And that's what this verse explains about. That real happiness is found as we cultivate our consciousness of Krishna. The purpose of pious activities, the purpose of a religion is to help people avoid sinful activities. And the purpose of when one becomes elevated in religion, then one performs pious activities. And better than pious activities is to learn tolerance, to tolerate the good and bad of the material world. And better than that is to engage in devotional service to Krishna. And better than simply devotional service is to become conscious of Krishna, which is the goal of devotional service, to actually understand Krishna in truth. And even better than understanding Krishna is to meditate upon Krishna, to be absorbed in love for Krishna and therefore automatically think about him. So that's the salvation, that's the freedom from distress and even material happiness, which is another kind of distress, because if you have material happiness, then you're going to have anxiety also, either losing that happiness or getting more material happiness. The only real freedom from distress is get happiness which doesn't end. Nanyam deho deha bhajam riloke kastan karman arhate vidbhujam ye tapo divyam putraka yena sadvam shudyat tasmai brahma sokim tam antam. Maharishi Shavde tells his sons, don't try and act like a, live life trying to enjoy like a dog or a hog. Instead, you should try to perform divine austerity. Because by that divine austerity, you can get permanent happiness, eternal happiness, which it goes on eternally and is always increasing, is always better. So that's what human form of life is. Otherwise, if one acts like an animal, then he'll become an animal. And if he acts like a demigod, he'll become a demigod. And if he acts like a devotee, then eventually he'll become a devotee and go back to the spiritual world. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? I think Chandramadhar Maharaj will give the pastimes of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. Yes.
Maharaj, where is this a verse? You said that devotional service, even better than devotional service, is being conscious of Krishna. And
yeah, this is a Bhagavad Gita 7, chapter 7, text 27. Yeshamantakatam papam janam punya karmanam tedvan va mohanira muktva pujante mam jiravrata. This is just another way of understanding what the progression of devotional service is. Sutra. Only those who pass their lives in practicing regular principles of religion, who have acted piously and have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And gradually they can meditate and trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. 728. 728. Anything else? Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada Ki Jai.